Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, I'm absolutely delighted to tell you that on the line we have Tali Nates, the director of the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Center, amongst many other titles, I might just add. Tali, good afternoon to you on this really rather somber day this afternoon.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Simon, and good afternoon to the listeners. Indeed, a somber day.
Somber day, and yet for whatever reason, Tali, I mean, I acknowledge the somberness of the day, and yet it isn't as hard-hitting as Yom HaShoah for whatever reason, or is that just my personal take on it?
I think that it's different. The 27th of January, of course, the liberation of Auschwitz, so it's 76th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz complex of camps by the Soviet Army. And it is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. So this is remembered all around the world. So, for example, today I was speaking in Japan, and they had a very, very moving ceremony in Japan. Friends in Senegal are holding a ceremony in Dakar. My friends in Rwanda are just finishing their commemoration. So it's different. It is international. It is a day of reflection where around the world, actually, communities, and not Jewish communities, but communities of people from around the world are reflecting on the day, on the significance of remembering the Holocaust 76 years after the liberation of Auschwitz.
So today we kind of intended to chat about the history of Mauritian Holocaust survivors, and I would imagine that not many people knew that there were displaced persons or Jewish refugees in Mauritius, really right next door.
Absolutely. It is the closest the Holocaust came to South Africa, and yet many South Africans do not know this unbelievable story of 1,580 Jews from Germany, Austria, Danzig, Poland, in what used to be Czechoslovakia, that were deported by the British colonial powers to their colony in Mauritius, December 1940, and liberated only in 1945, in August of 1945. So really very, very close to us. And a link to the South African Jewish community, because it was the Jewish community of South Africa that kept in touch with them while they were in the prison camp of Bobassin in Mauritius, sending them anything that they needed, from sidurim to food to other needs.
Tell me, why were they in prison camps?
So it is such an interesting story. When the Nazis started to conquer country after country, of course, Poland in September 1939, but before that, Czechoslovakia and Austria, there was a Jewish office in Vienna that tried to help refugees, Jewish refugees, to get out of Europe. Yes. It's 1940. They are helping 3,500 Jews to get to Bratislava, and from Bratislava on ships to through Romania to British mandated Palestine. Yes. They arrive in November on three big boats, but of course it was illegal immigration. By the way, approved by Adolf Eichmann. So the Nazis actually, at that stage, there is no final solution, and they are proving to get Jews out. So they want the Jews to get out of Europe. Amongst them are men that were arrested in Dachau and Buchenwald after Kristallnacht, and they are told, "We will release you from the concentration camps if you leave." So these 3,500 arrive illegally to British mandated Palestine, of course, not allowed by the British to come in. They start moving them to a ship called the Patria. Yeah. Then the Haganah, that was, of course, the military wing of the leadership of the Yishuv, as we call it, the Jewish leadership in British mandated Palestine, decided after hearing that they're going to deport them to Mauritius, they decided to put a bomb on the Patria, but miscalculating the size, they actually sank the ship within minutes with 260 Jews drowning. So it's an unbelievable story, you know. The British then puts everyone in a cleat. Those that survived the Patria, they are not deporting to Mauritius, but the 1,580 that were not yet on the Patria, they stayed on the ship Atlantic that arrived slightly later than the other two ships. They deport to Mauritius, 17 days on sea. To get to Mauritius, and they almost 5 years in a camp, in a prison,
very
separated.
Surprised to hear that. Yeah. Very surprised to hear that. Tell me, what happened after the war? What happened to that community that was based in Mauritius?
So of course they're not free. They're in prison. The men and boys are in the prison building. The children and the women are in barracks, inside this camp.
Yes.
126 die. And are buried in the island, in the St. Martin Jewish Cemetery. And they die from malaria and from typhus and from suicide and stillbirth and so on. And the others are allowed to leave. They are not allowed to stay, actually. They are ordered to leave by the British government. They leave in August. So after the war ends, the war, as you all know, ends in May of 1945, but they are only allowed to leave in August, and they all sail to British mandated Palestine. They're allowed to disembark this time. And that's the story.
What a story it is. I mean, who'd have thought that a mere 4-hour flight from us, they were really victims of the Holocaust. I had no idea. I thought we kind of lived in this hermetically sealed little bubble in South Africa, and you've just burst that bubble. What an interesting story. Tully, thank you for that. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Next time you visit Mauritius when we can travel, please go to the memorial in St. Martin Cemetery and pay your respects to the 126 souls buried there and learn something in the Bobassan Jewish Detainees Memorial and Information Center. And also check the website of the Bobassan Detainees Museum. It is a fascinating story.
Absolutely. I'm certainly fascinated. That is for sure. Tully Nates, thank you so very much for chatting to us here on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.